kind of a little lag there. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today is Monday, July 31st, 2023. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. Welcome, welcome, everyone. Whatever platform you are streaming on, and whether you're listening live or on a replay, as always, thank you. It is very much appreciated. Welcome, Blood Ninja. You're number one today, and bro, welcome back. Here you are. Welcome, welcome. Frankie, you are welcome as always. Hey, Jimmy, welcome back. Welcome back. But just the usual, usual. Let's get started. Before we get started, I wanted to say to Fair Use and Blunt, I really enjoyed your show on Friday night. I apologize for coming in late, but I've just been crazy busy. But I liked it. So good job. So just wanted to say that. Let's see. Okay. All right. So I want to talk about standing your ground. And this show can, I know it's going to go a lot of different ways, but, you know, I'm trying to stay on topic here. But again, it is, you are very welcome. You are very welcome. But this show can go different ways in terms of standing your ground. But when I say, that's my seat, you know, I've traveled a lot. I'm on a lot of airplanes, and, one thing that I've seen throughout the years, and you read stories about it, are people who just arbitrarily just take someone's seat and think that it's okay to just switch with them. You know, it could be the seat in front of you. It could be the seat behind you. They're like, well, you know, I want to sit with, you know, my friend. I want to, you know, I want to sit here. I want to sit there. And some people feel that the person should just, you know, just give up the seat. Well, you know, they do want to sit together. And usually the seat that they're that they want to trade is usually like a middle seat. No one likes a middle seat, you know, or they want to take a window. Me personally, I am an aisle person. I do not want your window at all. You know, so standing your ground, not just with seats on a plane, but just standing your ground, period, when people try to take advantage, like how far do you allow people to push? You know, how far are you going to let somebody just, you know, keep digging, and you know, they just don't know when to stop. And then when you say something to them, either in a nice way or in a rude way, or you just totally go off, they look at you like, well, what? You know, so at what point, hold on, Jimmy. You know, so at what point at what point do people need to get that lesson? And sort of like what we were talking about last week about minding your own business and what have you, you know, but at what point do you need to stand your ground? Because I don't believe in when some people say, well, you should pick your battles and what have you. For me, anytime someone crosses me, I'm going to let them know, because I have noticed that whether it be on the job, within your family, within your friends, with just your whatever, that you allow people that one inch, they're ready to take everything. They're ready to take it all. So that's my question. Serotonin, welcome. Jimmy, hey, what's up?
Hey, nothing much. Having a pretty good day today and took care of some business. But yes, it's actually a very good question that you ask. And, you know, I'm the kind of person, you know, the way I see it, it depends on what they're asking me. If it's something that I know that's ridiculous or something that's not reasonable, I immediately put my foot down and tell them no. And if they cry and complain and ask me, well, why not? Then I'll give them my reason. I'm nice enough. I'll give them my reason why I don't want to do it, or why I won't support them or whatever, you know, what have you. But for me, I'm a logical person when it comes to certain things. If it doesn't sound logical or doesn't sound natural or something beneficial to both parties, not just to myself, but to both parties, then I'm not going to do it. I won't support it. I mean, or I won't go with it. I mean, and I do believe people need to put their foot down, because once we start giving in to ridiculous demands or ridiculous agendas, I guess you can say, you know, that's when things start to become chaotic. And I do not ascribe to any form of chaos, whether it be something small or something big.
Okay, so let me ask this. Let me go into the family for a moment. Your sister, your brother, your cousin, somebody in your family wants you to babysit. And they kind of tell you at the last minute, you know, but you say, okay, but you need to be back at such and such a time. They're like, oh, okay, don't worry. They don't come back. They're a couple of hours late. You're pissed off. You may have had to go to work, or you just may have just wanted to just go hang out, or you just may have wanted to just go home and just cool and be by yourself. But they didn't do it. They just assumed that everything was okay. When you came back, you told them, and they're like, oh, it's, you know, don't worry. So then the second time rolls around, and they ask you again, are you going to say yes because they're family? Are you going to give them another chance, or do you automatically say no? Like, did they burn that bridge that first time?
Well, I mean, they're family, so no, I'm not going to turn them away. I was always taught never to turn my family away. I mean, there has to be a reason why they were late or whatever. Give them the benefit of the doubt, and they're family, so
okay. Now let's say it wasn't an emergency. Let's say they were just with their friends, and you babysit the second time, and they mm-hmm. do it again. So it's not an emergency. They're just out hanging out. And they know that you said that you told them to be back at such and such a time because you had something to do. So again, does family get that leeway as opposed? I mean, like, how far do you let your family go before you say no?
Well, I always like to follow the rule, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, even with my family. I mean, like I said, I'm very lenient when it comes to my family and friends. But once you screw me over twice, at least, that's when I start questioning your principles or your honesty with me. And then I'd be like, hey, you know, you've already done it twice to me. How could I trust you this third time? And, you know, I need some assurance or some, you know, some reassurance, some collateral, something that that would benefit me, that you'll come back mm-hmm. and you'll be a man or a woman of your word, that you can come back on time, like you said. I don't care if you're 5 minutes late, that's fine. 5 to 15 minutes late is fine, but anything past 15 minutes, you know, that's when I draw the line. That's when I say, no, you went way above and beyond the time you said, you know, a reasonable time that you'll be here.
So do you see people coming who you know are going to take advantage? I mean, whether it be family or friends or whomever, do you see that, like, you see them coming, like, when they're approaching you, and as soon as they start talking, you're like, oh, they about to ask me for money. They about to ask for this.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, yeah,
I've had it happen to me a couple of times where I had a family member borrow some money, and it wasn't just a little amount of money. It was a good lump sum of money. They told me they were going to pay me back, and they didn't pay me back on time when they said they were, but you know, it took them a while, but they finally paid me back. But it's just that we had an agreement that I was going to get that money at that time, because I needed that money for something that I really wanted. And I made a sacrifice saying, you know what, I'm going to put their needs above mine. And I'm praying and hoping that, you know, they'll come through, and they didn't. And I missed out on that event or that thing because they didn't give me my money back on time. But it was okay. I eventually let it go in a way. And I say in a way because I always remember, you know, that particular incident. And I always bring it up to them when they ask me for something, or they ask to borrow something or do something for them. I'm like, okay, well, you remember when you told me this and then this happened? Yeah, okay, don't let that happen again. And, you know, and every time I remind them, I bring it up, you know, they've been on their word. They've been coming back when they say they'll come back, or they'll pay me back on time, because they don't want a repeat of that. And they hate when I bring it up. So, you know, that's a plus.
Okay, so let's go to the airplane. Okay. I'm one of those people that I buy my tickets like months in advance.
Same.
So I know where I have, when I have to go somewhere, if it's last minute, you know, I have to do some last minute stuff. But if it's something that's planned, I buy my tickets months in advance. I usually end up getting the same seat, because I like sitting in a particular seat, whatever. Mm-hmm. So let's say
I like aisle seat.
So let's say that you're getting on the plane and you bought your ticket months in advance, and you see someone sitting in your seat, and they're, you know, they're like, well, I want to sit next to my mom, or I want to sit next to whatever, you know, but they were that last minute person. Is it a big deal? You know, and they say, well, my seat's there and it's a middle seat, or they're like 19 rows back. And this is stuff that I've read about. This is stuff that I have seen. You know, you had, you know, 13A, and they want to switch, and they're in 28B or 28A. That's a big deal. You know, that's a big deal. At least to me, it is. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, if I wanted that seat, I would have purchase that seat. I would have reserved that seat. So do you think it's a big deal when people don't want to give up their seat? Or is it the principle that you should not have just come in here and just sat in my seat? You could have at least waited until, you know, I was, and then you could have said, hey, you know, this is my mom. We weren't able to get seats together. Do you mind? You know, my seat is back here. Well, where's back here? You tell them, and they're like, well, you know, you decide then, but just don't come sit in on the plane and just sit in my seat.
Well, I was always raised proper. So I think the proper thing in my eyes would be for that person to wait. You know, they can sit in their seat, and then when I come, then they could politely ask me. And I wouldn't mind switching, but it depends, because if they're sitting between two big people, I'm not going to budge. I'm going to sit in my chair. I ain't going to sit between two big people, because I really hate when people are on top of me. I'm the kind of person, I don't like nobody sitting on top of me. It just really gets, I get like anxiety when I have, I guess you can say like minor anxiety, not major, but I get really antsy when I have people, especially strangers that I don't know, if they're just like on top of me, like rubbing elbows and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, if that person's being reasonable, if they waited for me, then Depending on certain circumstances, that's one of them. If they're sitting between two big people, then no. But as a guy, if it's a girl asking me and she has a legit reason she wants to switch, then I wouldn't mind being a gentleman and giving up the chair, and we can switch whatever, regardless if my mom's sitting next to her. It's just it's circumstantial, but it also has, I see it as circumstantial and being or having proper etiquette with it. You just can't sit in someone's chair that you didn't pay for and expect them to be nice to you or expect them to freely give up their chair to you without some kind of fight or altercation. And Lord forbid it get into a physical altercation, because I've seen that plenty of times. There's plenty of videos out there where people just grab them by the collar and their pants and throw them off the chair.
But do you think that people, and when that happens, when that person is being grabbed and they're like being tossed out, whatever, should they be surprised? Because nowadays you really don't know how people are going to react. You really don't.
No, they shouldn't be surprised, because you are essentially stealing something they paid for. It's like if I bought a TV and I'm walking out the store and I have the last TV, and a person comes up to me and grabs a TV and says, "Oh, I'm going to take your TV because I need a TV and this is the last one. And here's $200 when I pay $500 for the TV. It's like, I ain't going to accept the $200. I paid $300 more. So well, no, even, I'm not going to be okay.
Even if they gave you $500, what you pay for, the fact that they want to take it and just assume that, okay, well, I'm giving you the money, so what difference does it make? People just assume.
Right. See, even if they were to offer me the $500 I paid for it, if they initially grabbed the TV or the item first, like I said, then hell no. That's like, because I'm old Southern. I do believe in Southern hospitality and etiquette. People having their proper manners and morals with it. You just don't come up to someone and assume they're going to give it to you. Because you don't know. First of all, you don't know the kind of person they are, and B, you don't know what's going on in their life, that they actually might need that chair for a certain reason, or they might need that particular item for a certain reason. And, you've got to be reasonable with this person and understand why they don't want to give it up or why they don't want to sell it to you or et cetera. You just got to be very reasonable. And nowadays, I've seen this time and time, even at restaurants, believe it or not, I have seen this multiple times where a family comes in, they sit down in a particular spot by a window. Another family comes in, and this family that came in afterwards is a regular, and they sit at that table all the time. And I've seen the husband talk to the other husband and tell him, "Look, this is my table. My family and I come here all the time. We're regulars. The staff knows where we sit already. Do you mind if I have this table?" And the guy told him, "No, we got here first." And the guy got really upset. And unfortunately, there was an altercation there because of a table by a window, which is pretty sad if you ask me, but there was an altercation and both families were escorted out the restaurant. And sadly to say, the family that's a regular there, they're no longer welcome back in that restaurant because of that altercation.
Well, did you hear about the young man? I think it happened last week. A server at, I can see the name on the building. Cannot think of the restaurant right now, but it was somewhere down south. And the server, there was an hour wait between tables. And the server sat one group, and this other group that came in was like huge. It was like 12 people in their group. And they wanted to sit together, but the guy said, "Well, it'll be at least an hour wait if you want a table together. Other than that, I can seat you, but it'll have to be separate. One will be here in this area, and the other half can be in this area." So they got upset, they cursed him out, left, came back to the restaurant, and they literally beat that boy unconscious. Now, this was...
Say what? Say that again?
They beat him unconscious because...
No, before that, what was the altercation, or what was the issue that caused them to beat him?
They could not they could not be seated together. There was like a party.
Wow.
And this is where I said, and this kid was like 18 years old, whatever. So I'm like, so you're going to beat up this kid because he's doing his job. He can't seat you. And this is where I'm saying that people.
So they beat the server up because he couldn't sit them down.
Right.
Oh, wow.
He couldn't seat them together.
Wow.
You know, so
did that person get arrested or those people get arrested for that?
No, they are looking for them now. They know what type of car they were in, whatever, but they have not found them. You know, but I'm just saying, this is where I say, Jeju, hey, you know, this is where I say that people who assume, don't assume that you know, I'm going to be okay, or I'm going to be able to do this, or just because you get to the restaurant and, you know, that's your table that you sat at. Well, you know what? Then you should have come earlier. You should have reserved. I mean, I don't know, but you just can't expect people to move just because you want them to.
Right, right. Exactly. That is horribly, highly unacceptable and uncalled for. What those people did to that young man, that is sickening and disturbing. That we have people who think that's normal or acceptable to do to somebody because they wouldn't, because he physically could not sit them together because of the situation that happened. Hey, you know, Juju, but, yeah, that's,
you know,
just.
But unfortunately, you're hearing about that more and more. That people are just so intolerant, you know,
It's this whole movement about people being entitled. This whole entitlement that's going on right now in society is making people crazy. People think they're entitled to get what they want and do what they want and say what they want because they can do it. That's their whole mentality right now in this young generation, that if I can do it, I can do it. Don't tell me what to do. And it's a very scary mentality that these people have, because they don't understand there's consequences to their actions. And a prime example, you know, there's a young man walked into a corner store. He's buying a package of gum and some drinks, and he's heading out to a friend's house. Another gentleman walks in, tries to hold the place up with the gun. The young man wrestles a gun away, shoots the robber or would-be robber, shoots him to death, kills him. And then they call 911, and then that boy's family says, oh, I want him arrested because he didn't have to kill my son. I said, well, your son didn't have to walk into a corner store and point the gun at people and try to rob the store at gunpoint. He got what he deserved. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I'm sorry. It's like, I am not going to sit here and condone your son's actions and say he didn't deserve to die when he's doing something stupid. We all know that is dangerous, it's stupid, it's immoral, and I mean, there's consequences to their actions, and the world is forgetting that. The world wants to eliminate consequences. This group of people, I don't want to say the world, it's just a group of people, really, want to pretend that they're not going to get hurt or killed for doing something that because they think they can do it, they can do it. And I'm sorry, that's just not how this world works at all. You know, you have to respect people's boundaries. You have to respect society's rules and laws. You have to understand and respect the consequences to your actions, and, you know, and be mindful of what you say and what you do, but not to the point where you're overly paranoid to do something, but just know that there are consequences to your actions, whether they're positive or negative. And you cannot expect people, and I hate to say this, you can't expect people to have the best judgment in certain times, because there are people that would just act unruly for no reason, you know. And that's the society that we live in, unfortunately, is where we have this going on. And young kids, and I say kids, but they're like 18, 19. You have these 18, 19-year-olds who don't even live to see 21 because of their actions that they do. And people want to say, oh, they didn't have to die. They didn't have to do this one. No, they didn't have to die. But look what they did. You know, look what their actions that caused their death. And you're trying to justify something that they did wrong as something that is okay and right. And that's ludicrous.
No, I'm with you 100%. And that teen that was beaten, he was in Cordova, Tennessee, and it was Cheddar's.
Oh my God! At a Cheddar's, really?
Yeah, because Cheddar's. He was beaten by a family because they did not get their preferred table. And I put the link in there if anybody wanted to see it. But, you know, but Jimmy, you bring up a good point, because then I go back to, like, again, standing your ground, that bully who every day when you all go out, you know, it's like your kid, your son or daughter is bullying my kid, whatever. And I'm telling you, your child is a bully. You're like, oh, your child's just a wuss. You know, they need to grow up, or they're just playing. It's all in fun. Then my kid comes back to school with a gun, or comes back to school with a baseball bat. And then my child may go to jail, but your child's dead. You know, but it's like, at what point do people take responsibility and realize that you don't know what someone's breaking point is? You know, that person that's you know, getting on the plane could just be tired and they just want to get home, and they have to deal with you because you took their seat, because you want to sit next to your mother, you want to sit next to your friend, whatever. You know, no one wants to deal with this stuff. You don't know what someone's limit is.
Right. And, you know, and what you're saying is what I like to call the classic case of the teeter totter. And the teeter totter, everybody knows how it goes. One side goes up, one side goes down, and then you can actually balance it out. If you try hard enough, you can balance it out. Now, that effect happens in real life situations, especially with young kids, you know, young teenagers. I remember when I was a teenager, I was, you know, very emotional. Teenagers are very emotional, both male and female, more female than male, but we have our emotional response or thinking. Now, a student who brings a gun to school because he's getting picked on, you know, he or she is thinking very emotionally. They're tired of being bullied. They're tired of being picked on. They think this is the answer to their problems, is shooting the people and getting rid of the people who deny them happiness and peace every day because they are their tormentors. And, you know, this is why I say I understand that person's actions, but I don't condone it. And okay. I don't condone it. Because there's better ways to deal with that situation.
But there are better ways, but you don't know how that person's going to deal with it. You don't know.
Right. And then for like the parents, you know, for the parents of the students who were sadly killed, you know, they really got to take a look at their child, you know, and again, I hate to say this. I'm not saying the child deserves it, because they don't. Nobody deserves to be shot, even if they're bullying someone. Like I said, there's better ways to handle certain situations. I mean, there's two reasons why a kid bullies another kid. One is because something's going on in the household and they don't know how to mentally deal what's going on. So they take their frustrations out on other kids because they're jealous of what that kid has. You know, they have a better family, better stable household. Or two, you know, the kid, two, the kid's just an asshole and likes to pick on the kid. And three, that kid that he's picking on is doing something wrong and he wants that kid to stop. You know, the more you do it, the more I'm going to pick on you. So you got to learn, if you do it, this is going to happen. You know, learning consequences to the action. And that kid doesn't understand why. He's like, why does he keep picking on me? And he's telling them, or he's doing something, he picks on him and does it, and he doesn't get it that his actions are resulting in that consequence. You know, so there's always different reasons, or three different reasons why those kids do those things. And, you know, I experienced two of those reasons. I had a kid who was just a plain asshole and to me, and he just loved to torment me. And I had him years later, after we graduated from high school, he came up to me at a bar and he apologized to me. Not only did he apologize, but mind you, this was a grown man in the middle of a bar. He was crying, bawling his eyes out, hugging me and asking and begging for forgiveness. And I was like, dude, and at first I didn't recognize him. I was like, dude, I forgive you. It's okay, man. We were kids. We didn't know better and stuff. And then, and it's funny, the same night at another bar, as I was bar hopping with my brother and friends, another person comes up to me crying and bawling their eyes out. I'm like, what in the hell is going on here tonight? And my brother looks at me, dude, what the hell? I was like, I don't know who this is. And then he explains to me who he is. And he told me that he was just going through a really bad time with his family. His mom and dad were getting divorced. And he was just jealous that I had both my parents still. And we were very close-knit. We still are a very close-knit family. And he asked for forgiveness too. And I was like, nah, bro, I give him a hug. I'm like, it's okay, dude. Let me get you a beer, man. Let's drink and let's have some fun. And you know, let's put the past to the past, let it be buried and stuff. But, you know, there are reasons, you know, there are reasons why these kids do this, you know, and there's psychological issues with these kids that need to be addressed. And because if they don't, this is what happens when they become adults. They start acting out and start doing things horribly wrong because they don't understand the consequence of their actions. They don't understand there is a negative side to their actions.
Okay, so Jimmy, okay, so I'm about to take this in a different way then. So when I was in school, in grade school and high school, people weren't bringing guns to school. If they did, I know about it. But I'm pretty sure that they didn't. And when people, you know, it was like, meet me after school and you're out there pushing and shoving. You know, you're not shooting. You know, you're not coming to school and just, you know, in the middle of your math class, you get up and just start shooting people and running up and down the hall, shooting everybody that you see. You just did not do that. So why do you think that we're at a time, not just in schools, but with everyone, that in terms of standing your ground, people are just taking it to the next level where it seemed, I'm not saying that they didn't do it back then, but it seemed that when you got into an altercation with someone, if someone, you know, cut you off while you're driving or something, you weren't trying to literally run them off the road. You may give them the finger and keep going, but now it's the finger, it's the gun, it's, you know, you trying to ram into my car. I don't know how many YouTube, you know, that I watch, you know, where I'm looking at people literally on the freeway, on the expressway, the highway, wherever you live, people are literally running people off the road and cars are flipping and, I mean, over stupid stuff. Why are we at this point?
I see that a lot over here in my city, where people are shooting people because of them cutting them off or doing something stupid. Personally, in my opinion, I don't know if everybody's going to agree with me, those individuals, they're mentally unstable, because I've seen people tons of times where they flip the other person off, the other person flips them off, and they just go on their way. But I've seen that rare occasion where the person just takes it to a whole new level and wants to run that person off the road or shoot them with a gun. And I think those people are just mentally unstable. They have mental health issues that were never addressed.
Is it mental health, or are just people just at their end? They're just, look, you know what? I'm just sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. Or I just had a really bad day. My boss just had me work overtime and I got to deal with your dumb ass. Excuse my French, but you know, that people just, you know, people just, you know, is it mental health or is it just I'm tired of it?
I think it might be a little bit of both. I want to be honest with you, straight honest. I think there's some people who are mentally ill, that their mental problems haven't been addressed, and those who have, but they just don't take their medication or they don't continue to seek help. And then you got the other half of the people who just get tired of people being assholes and cutting them off and doing bad things, and they finally get pissed off. And especially because, honestly, I've run into the same person over and over and over on the way to work. And this guy continuously, habitually decides to cut through parking lots and just to cut people off. And he pisses a lot of people off when he does it. And I'm telling you, one of these days, somebody's going to follow him and shoot him. I hate to say it, but he just drives erratically and does stupid stuff. And, I think that's what it is people get to their boiling point where they just said, enough's enough. This person's never going to stop. They're never going to learn their lesson to stop doing that crap, you know, and they want to take matters into their own hands. And to solve the issue, they just reach a mental boiling point where they just, at that split second or that moment, they lose themselves. They're not themselves. And and the same thing, if you look at murder cases, you know, majority of murders are crimes of passion, where the person just lose their mind at that moment and they kill someone. They're not real psychopaths or murderers. They just happen to go to a boiling point, they snap, you know, and they are regretful. They regret their actions, or they mourn. They're so sorry what they do. There are some of them, you know, people don't realize that, but there is a good amount of people who are very regretful what they did, and they accept their punishment, that they either spend life in prison, 25, 30, 50 years, whatever, how many years they spend in prison, they accept it because, you know, they realize they did something wrong. And, you know, you just have those people that are like that, you know, they just snap and lose it. And the other half are just unremorseful, unregretful psychopaths. Like I say, that are mental issue. They have no business being out in public, if you ask me, on the stream cases.
I mean, but you know what, though? But I think that, and you guys can say, solid, you're wrong, whatever. But I think that the majority of us, most of us, have that button. I think most of us have that button that if you push just so hard, I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, we all have our threshold, but it, you know, everybody has different levels, and people got to understand not everybody's level is the same level. Some are extremely high. They have a lot of patience. Some people are extremely low. And, you know, that's why I say what manners and respect come into play. You know, you be mindful of everybody, because, you know, once a situation happens, you know, hypothetically speaking, let's just say someone cuts you off, runs you off the road, and almost kills you, but you recognize their face, you know, you saw their face, and you can remember them vividly. And let's just say you're a doctor, and they come to you out of the blue saying, hey, my child's sick, or I'm sick, I need help. And you get into the mental dilemma of, oh, shit, I remember this person that almost killed me. Do I want to help them? Or do I want to deny them and make them remember who I am, what they did to me? You know, people get into that dilemma. And that's why I say, you know, you got to have management respect, because you don't want to get put in that situation. That's a horrible situation to be put in. And that happens every day. You know, someone gets in that situation. But, you know, you shouldn't take vengeance or take it out on them if you get a chance, because that makes you just as bad as that person. You know, you should learn to be respectful, have manners, walk away. Don't.
But you know what, though? But Jimmy, okay, but I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. But if you're in the habit of, I'm going to be the bigger person, and people have said this to me many times, you should be the bigger person. And I'm, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, why do I have to be the bigger person? This person is acting like an asshole every single day. So by me walking away and being the bigger person, to me, you know, it's like, you know, someone once said that, you know, if someone's a bully, just ignore them and they'll stop. But you have a lot of people that don't stop. So while you're so busy being the bigger person, that person says, oh, well, you know, well, someone's not doing this, so I'm going to come back tomorrow and I'm going to keep doing it. So I can understand being the bigger person in some cases, but some cases people don't need you to, you know, you need to like turn around and knock the crap out of them or do something to them where they are going to realize you need to stop. This needs to stop now. I'm not going to be the bigger person. I'm sick of you.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And that's why I'm saying there's thresholds. Everybody has thresholds. And that's why I say, you know, people got to understand there's consequences to their actions. I don't condone violence. I would never condone violence. But, you know, there is certain situations when a person has to put their foot down and, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm tired of being a victim. I'm tired of this crap, and they snap, you know, they go into this mode where they're like, you know what, I'm tired of this person's crap. I'm going to teach them a lesson, because they don't seem to learn their lesson about stopping what they're doing. And unfortunately, you know, that's where you get the revolving door effect, because hypothetically, let's just say you kill that person. And now that person's dead, somebody that their friends or family will come after you. And if they kill you, somebody in your family comes after them, kills them, and just over and over and over, and it never stops. It's a revolving door. You know, this happens day in and day out. But that's why I tell people, you know, you got to learn to be the better person, because then you get into that cycle of people kidding people, and it's never going to stop.
Right. And that's when I say that being the bigger person may also give them leeway where they'll never stop because they know that you're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a tricky situation. But then that's when I say common sense comes into play. You know, if someone's doing something terrible to the point where the only way they're going to stop is if you have to call the cops, call the cops. Don't be afraid of the cops. You know, I don't care what social media says. I don't care what media says about cops and stuff. Because recently, the last few years, social media and media has been painting ugly pictures about cops. Not all cops are bad. I will say there's some that are crooked, but not all of them are bad. Don't be afraid. They're there to serve and protect. That's their job. And, you know, if it takes this person getting arrested or getting a ticket to learn their lesson, then so be it. I mean, would you rather have them dead or would you rather be dead or would you rather have them get a ticket and hopefully pray that they learn the lesson? I'm pretty sure they will, because once they get that first ticket or first time arrested for that offense, more than likely, they're not going to do it again. They're going to stay far away.
But everything is not necessarily a call the cops type of thing. You know, like I said, if you have, you know, that person who at work, mm-hmm. and white people do this, you know, if you all are some of these people, I'm telling y'all right now, I think it's disgusting and I think it's gross. When you eat other people's lunches, you don't know lunch has been. I would never want to eat, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not eating somebody else's food. I don't know how it's been prepared. I don't know what your hygiene, no, whatever. But
that's why I put a lock on my lunchbox.
You know, you have people that will go in and you have that constant person who just wants to, you know, take your lunch, eat it, and you're like, you know what, Jimmy, you know, you keep eating my lunch and you need to stop. Oh, it's no big thing, ha 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 ha, until one day, you know, I do something and put something in my food knowing you're going to eat it, that's going to make you really, 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 really sick. So am I wrong, or do I need to call the cops? I mean, at what point do you have to really
teach
that lesson? Like, you just won't stop.
Well, this is if it's a work related issue like that, first of all, you got to contact your management and tell them what's going on, because the fact that if you purposely taint your food with something that can get that person sick and potentially kill them or hurt, I'm just saying, you know, you're liable. That's considered murder.
Prove that I purposely
premeditated.
Prove that my tuna salad just wasn't spoiled that day. And you just got to it first. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Jimmy, but I'm just saying that there are some things that, you know, I'm not saying you go kill them or anything like that, but some things you have to
take next
level on your own, because some people just don't listen. You know, you have, like I said, you have that bully. I don't know how many times you have heard that, you know, if someone's child came home and they, sadly, you know, they hung themselves or whatever. It's like, I went to the teacher, I went to the school board, I did this, I did that, I did everything I was supposed to do. Nobody helped me. So what do you do? What do you do?
I mean, if I get why people attack other people, if it's a repetitive offense that they're doing, they're not stopping, you've already contact and got a hold of as many people or authority figures as you can to try to get the situation to stop, and they don't stop, then like I said, you know, there's consequences to their actions. Don't expect me to cry or be sympathetic or sad for that person when they do something stupid.
Okay. And Juju says, some people have no food at home. We really don't know that this is the situation. I just responded to her. That's true, but you don't have to. You should ask.
Right.
You don't have to take it. You know, and you're constant. So if I'm coming to you constantly, and at some point, then Jimmy, do you say, you know what, I'm sorry for taking your food, but I don't have anything to eat? That changes the whole thing. Okay,
right.
I'll bring extra food, but you don't have to take it, because actually what you're doing is, now I'm hungry. Now I don't have anything to eat. Don't assume that I have money to go out and buy this. Maybe that's what I'm fixing my lunch with, could be my last bread or butter. You don't know my situation at home.
Well, that's why, like I said, I hate to say this, but like at work, I started putting locks on my lunchbox because I had somebody that was stealing my yogurts and my granola from our yogurt. And it got to the point where I put a lock on it. And people started asking me, why you put a lock on your lunchbox? Nobody puts locks on the lunchbox. I'm like, well, because someone keeps stealing my food. And if they want food or they're hungry and they want food for me, all they have to do is ask. And I will give it to them. I'm like, it's like, you don't have to come. And I said this out loud in the middle of the break room. I was like, you don't have to steal food or take food. If you want food, you don't have enough food at home, ask and I'll bring extra food for you. You don't have to come and, you know, steal, because I'm sorry, but you know, that is a crime. That is stealing. And legally, you can be arrested for stealing, whether it's something petty or something, expensive.
Okay.
You know, stealing is stealing, no matter what the object or the thing is. People don't have that concept. People don't understand that. And there's a dangerous law that's being passed around in certain states saying that if a person shoplifts up to $750, they're not going to get arrested. They're just going to get a slap on the hand and a fine. And that's a very dangerous law that they're passing around.
And California is...
Yeah, California was the first.
$999. It's
$950.
It's $950. Yeah, in California is, but that's $950, not total that you've done like over the last 3 years. That's like $950 in one
thing. Yeah.
So literally, you can go and take this, come back, take this, whatever. So, GP, welcome.
Welcome. Well, hey, I'm going to head out. I got some errands to do. This is a great conversation.
Thank you, Jimmy. Great
topics.
Thank you so much.
And I'm looking forward to the next show. I don't come back fast enough.
All right. Bye. Hey, GP.
Hey, Sala. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, my headphones had to charge up before I could call in. So I finally got them charged up. Yeah, it was kind of funny. I was talking about stealing people's food at a work environment or just in general, because I've been in the car business for about 5 years now, and that's something that's really normal. People taking other people's lunches. I don't get it, but it happens every day.
So do you think that it's the fact that people are just hungry, or they just are just too lazy to bring their own food, or they don't want to go and just, you know, go out to McDonald's or whatever? I mean, because it is an issue. You know, at every workplace, somebody's food is being taken.
Yes, I would say it's both. Some people, they just, hate to say this, but many people are paycheck to paycheck. And if you have low morals with that combination, you have no, you know, sense of awareness. Hey, I shouldn't take food from other people, but I'm hungry and I don't have money. So it's like the normal thing. Just last week, I had to fire one of my sales guys. Yeah, so a customer came in and we put GPS devices on our vehicles in the event that the vehicle is stolen. We can track it down. So the customer came in to get the GPS removed because he paid off the vehicle. Well, he took the customer had a big blunt in the middle of the center console. This is drugs. He had a blunt. Who knows what it had inside, what it contained. But he took the customer's car to the back to our shop to remove the GPS with a text work on it. Brought the car back. Well, the blunt was missing. And of course, anybody who's addicted is going to go crazy over their drugs. And that's what happened. And he lied, our sales guy lied, said, no, I didn't take your drugs, I didn't take your blunt. And when the customer left him really upset, then he admitted that he did. So we had to fire him because we just lost a good customer over some nonsense. Like, for one, you take somebody's drugs, you don't know if it's been dipped in acid, promethazine, whatever, LSD, you don't know.
True. And I mean, that was bold. I mean, that was bold. It's like, I mean, you know, I don't know, but this is what I'm saying. I mean, at what point do you have to push back? At what point do you have to, you know, like you had to fire him as opposed to saying, well, okay, if you do it again, but when are people just going to know, like, seriously, I know you did this. I know it's you. Just stop.
Well, the narrow down, it was only either the sales guy or it would have been two of the technicians. But, I mean, no, you cost the house money, we're going to get rid of you. I mean, that's a business. The whole purpose of a business is to make money. Right. If you're getting in the way of that in any house, it's the same thing, the same structure.
So since you're a business owner, let me ask this. And for me as a business owner, I don't require it because I know what it was like when I was working that 9-to-5 job and I hated it. Do you ever assume that people should automatically stay late? Or let's say they stay late just out of habit, and then one day they want to go home early, and you're like, well, wait, what are you leaving for? And it's like, it's 5 o'clock. It is time for them to go home, but to you, it's them leaving early. Like, do you ever expect people to go above and beyond?
So it depends on your pay plan. And some guys, they're on a commission basis. So if you want to get paid, you got to stay behind to finish the deal. But if you're on an hourly basis, where, I mean, it's really up to you. You know, we're pretty reasonable. So if you're paid on an hourly basis, well, you're not going to get paid for that extended stay. Or if you leave early, of course, your checks will be shorter because you left early. But if you're on a commission basis, well, man, you don't sell, you don't eat kind of thing. So it's really up to you.
Okay.
So it's pretty fair.
Okay. The reason why I asked is because I work someplace where I mean 5 o'clock I was gone. I walked I think 10 blocks in 10 minutes to catch my 5:20 train, and when I stay late because. I wasn't staying late because I wouldn't have work to do. I was staying late because the train schedule changed and it left 20 minutes later. So instead of a 5:20 train, it was a 5:40 train. And I would stay, you know, until like around 5:20. Sometimes I would push to 5:30. And when I started leaving earlier again, my boss was like, well, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going home. Well, you should stay and help so-and-so with this, or you should stay and help so-and-so. I'm like, no, you know, I'm not doing that. I have to go home, you know, whatever. And one thing that my boss said to me, I'll never forget this. You're single. Why do you have to go home? What responsibilities do you have? And that comment right there, I was in HR the next day. I was in HR the next day. And he got into a lot of trouble for that. I'm like, you don't know if I have a sick parent at home. You don't know what my situation is. I'm single? Seriously? So as a business owner, for people that work for me, I never require them to, you know, if, you know, I have those, I mean, I have great people that work with me for me, whatever, but I never require them to just because you need to. So would you get upset if someone stood their ground against you, against something that you asked them to do, but it wasn't necessarily in their job, you know, something that they don't have to do?
It would be a case by case. It depends, because some places where I work, where it's a major business or a place where it's a small business, it's a whole nother factor. Anybody who's worked in a small business knows that, hey, sometimes you just got to cover down and pick up the slack because there's only so many bodies. I'm not a plumber, but one time our plumbing blew up. Luckily, I know the basics, and I stayed late until the plumber showed up because I'm the only one who was not a parent. I said, everybody go home. There's no point in being here because we got to cut the power and the water out. I stayed behind, but stuff like that, I mean, of course, you earn your respect that way.
Then you just said something, and this is actually a topic for a different show. So do parents get passes because their parents or married people get passes? Because it seems like if that's the case, then single people will always get screwed.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. I mean,
but that's the way society thinks. I mean, they think that just because you're single, then therefore you can or you don't have to, when you don't know what that single person is dealing with. You could be single because you have so many responsibilities at home that, you know, you're still living at home with your mother and father, because every time you want to leave, they're like, oh no, but you have to do this for me. I mean, you don't know. So it just seems like that you're the single person is like, well, you don't have a family, so you can stay. Well, I may not have the family that you're going home to, but I still have a family, or I still have other responsibilities. I could be taking care of elderly people, you know, after work. You know, you don't know, and I shouldn't have to tell you.
Exactly. Honestly, my preference is always a small business now, because you cover down for each other. So you got to be careful who you work with. You don't do them wrong, they don't do you wrong. You just got to be careful. But I mean, I fly a lot. So if I need to catch we close doors at 6, but I got to catch a 7 p.m. flight, I say, I'll see y'all later. I'm leaving at 4:30. Y'all close doors, cover down for me like I always cover for y'all.
Okay. And
it's pretty fair that way. But in big businesses, the problem with big businesses is, you're just another number. They can replace you by tomorrow afternoon. They don't care whether you quit or get fired. You're replaceable. With small business, it's not so easy. You got to retrain somebody you trust. It's a whole other concept. But if it's a good business, small business, everybody wins. It's better for everybody.
Okay. This is true. Well, guys, I'm coming up to an hour, not quite there, but this was a good. I enjoyed this show. The conversation was good. So, GP, you have any last words of wisdom you want to leave anyone or everyone or whatever?
Yeah, don't do your coworkers wrong. don't steal their lunches. Don't steal their drugs. Yeah. Don't take their pens, their supplies, and whatnot.
Oh yeah, the supply thing. Yeah, we that's a whole different show about coming. Oh yeah, especially if you have that desk that's like in the where it's a lot of traffic and oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You grab your pens, your phone charger,
everything. Notepads. Yeah. Well, thanks for popping up, GP. Much appreciated.
No worries. Thank you.
All right. Oh, and Juju says, thank you, GP man. All right, y'all. So I'm going to leave y'all with, what am I going to leave y'all with today? What song? I'm going to leave y'all with a little bit of Randy Crawford. A little bit of Randy Crawford. Oh, and by the way, I will have a show tomorrow. I will not have a show Wednesday. I may have a show Thursday. I'm not sure. I am traveling. So if I do a show Thursday, I will post it, or people who are on my Discord, then they see it. And then if I don't do Thursday show, I will do a open bar Friday night. But it will definitely be an hour, because I will not be at home, and I'll be using my I'll be someplace that I don't really want to be on my phone doing a podcast. But if I do, it will be at 5 p.m. Pacific. It will be an hour before Fair Use and Blunt come on for Ladies Night. So, but definitely no show on Wednesday. So I'm going to leave you all with Randy Crawford, One Day I'll Fly Away. I make it alone.
Someday I'll fly away. Leave your love to yesterday. What more can your
Well, that's it, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day or evening, wherever you are in the world, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Thanks for coming. Bye.